Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 49 of the Brothers Geek, where geeky brothers talk about geeky things. My name is Patrick Laporte, Lembas Bread Baker, and Death Star Elevator Maintenance.
And I'm Chris Laporte, Dodger fan tear drinker, and ego connoisseur. Nice. And we have a guest on our episode tonight, the famous cinematography expert. Introduce yourself.
Hello, listeners. I am Jamie, Yoshi's Island Custodial Department and Hawkins Lab intern.
Nice.
Man, that would be an interesting intern experience.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't get through it.
No.
You have to sign a lot of documents.
Yeah. Well, Chris and Jamie. Jamie, glad to have you back. You've now outranked Andrew for most guest appearances, so
it's God, that's honor. Right.
You've taken the, lead now.
He's got to get back on the show and tie.
Not to mention you're on a bi-weekly podcast with us anyway. That's RP Geek, so you've definitely outclassed him at this point.
I'm in the inner circle.
Yeah,
that's true. You might as well just be in the port
honorary member.
Honorary, yes.
So, Chris and Jamie, I was watching. Because I don't know why, but I go through these phases of, like, I look up random Let's Plays on YouTube sometimes just to, like, watch. And I was like, you know what? I'll look up a blind Let's Play of Wind Waker. And it was these two guys playing, and they go through every episode. They pull a question from, like, their email that fans send in. And the question from the episode that I'm just going to take now for this bit, because it was a good question and I liked it, and it got me thinking about it, was what's been the best or your favorite reward that you've gotten from a video game, like for completing something, whether it be beating a boss or solving a puzzle or something like that. And of course they're playing Zelda, you know, so you get like a lot of rewards in that game for completing a mini boss or puzzle and stuff like that, so I guess that's why the fans sent it in. But got me thinking about other games too, so
for sure.
That one I have to dig a little bit for. I can't think of
That's a big question.
I guess I mean
I was thinking about it, so I got
yeah, go you start and then I'll be thinking about it.
Well, okay. the one that came quickly to mind for
your gut.
Me, my gut, like, immediately was when you get through the Deku Tree in Ocarina of Time. One, the reward of him shutting the fuck up is the warning in itself.
And getting through that cutscene so you can finally play the game.
Yeah, that was the reward. Being able to go out on Hyrule Field and, like, get started on your adventure. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Shut the fuck up and let me go have fun.
And especially because it's a game made for kids. Like, 10-year-olds aren't going to sit there listening to this old hag of a tree.
Oh! I just think of the intro, like...
Was that the music?
Yeah, it was.
Thank you.
It sounded just like the choir, I know, so
yes.
It was a little confusing.
You did all four parts of the choir in that single note.
probably going to get a little copyright, like, attack against us.
But, you know,
Nintendo's
so going to
take this episode down. You
can't just cut sounds out. Jeez.
What you got, Patrick?
Well, one of my favorites is... when in Red Dead Redemption, when you finish all the bonus, like, treasure hunting missions and scavenger missions and stuff like that, you get a sweet black duster that you get to wear around. That's one
yes.
of that's
that's shit. That's a good one.
That's up there for me.
Yeah,
also, when you get to just kill the old guy. Also up there for me.
Out of context, that is.
Dude, that Black Duster is the shit.
Yeah.
And you fucking earn it, too.
Yeah, you do. But honestly, one that's given me the most satisfaction is just my dignity after beating any Dark Souls game. And my sanity. Because that game will drag you through the dirt and the shit. And it's amazing. So, but once you beat it, it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say for mine. I did these out of order. I played Knights of the Old Republic 2 first.
Right.
Because I played it for PC and all the ratings were, like, the first one was completely unstable. So I was like, well, I'm just going to get a second one, whatever. And I still was surprised in the first one. I still didn't figure out, like, who Revan was by the time. Like, it was just, like, I was totally out of my element. I never played a game where you, like, can choose different paths that way. But I'd say one of the most satisfying things is finally fucking getting your lightsaber in that one.
Oh, yeah.
You go through a decent portion of the game. And it was probably the first Star Wars long RPG that I played. And to, oh my god, when you finally, after, well, like, definitely one planet, depending on how good you are at finding the pieces.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Getting that lightsaber and lighting it up for the first time is so satisfying.
Because is that the one where you, in the arc, like, you view the footage from the archives and you kind of get to pick the color of your lightsaber? Is that the second one or the first one?
That's the second one. You choose, like, the color you had before you were exiled.
Right.
Because, like, the beginning, you are exiled already. And so, if you get to a certain tree of dialogue with Atten, I think, you can, he's like, well, what color lightsaber you have? And you could be like, you could be such a wuss about it. You'd be like, oh, I can't talk about it. Like,
yeah.
Like, shut up. So, you can choose basically any color that's in the game. And then in that cutscene, you have, like, the color you chose. But you still are at the mercy of whatever the crystals you find for your new one. So.
Right. Okay. That's a good one. You know, there's a level up reward when you hit level 21 in real life. It's called being able to purchase alcohol.
The master of Segway.
Damn, he's good. He's real so, good.
It's one of my favorite real life rewards. So we're going to talk about what we're drinking tonight. And I'll start off.
Yeah, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking an old Rasputin.
Nice. I thought I recognized, like, the side of the circle that he's in. Yeah, there he is. Yeah. Look at him. Little bastard.
So, good old... I've had this on the show before, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, it's starting to get a little cooler here in SoCal, finally. It's
finally.
Starting to feel a little like fall. And so, you know, breaking out the stouts now. So, Russian Imperial Stout. This is a classic. Not much to say about it.
9%. It's good.
It's good. Yeah.
Well, we're trying a new one over here. Mm-hmm. It's from Southern Tier Brewing Company. It's called Warlock. It's Warlock. Yeah, right. It's kind of cool. Should have had it on the D&D podcast. I got a case, so I guess I can wait it out. I did already try it because I just needed a beer today.
Yes.
But it's Imperial Stout, brewed with pumpkin and pumpkin pie spice.
Pumpkin and pumpkin spice.
Yeah, so...
The pumpkin spice latte of beer.
Exactly. It's mostly just the stout, and then at the end, you kind of get that pumpkin in there, and it's real good. It's real good, actually.
What brewery is it?
Southern Tier.
Where is that based?
Well, it's 8.6%, so that's nice.
So it's not the South, probably.
Looks like it. It's actually... Yeah, right. Lakewood, New York.
There you go. Oh, nice. Well. Good on you, Southern.
Because why the hell not? It says right there.
There we go.
Literally underneath. Okay.
Why the hell not?
I can get behind it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, cool. onto some news.
News. Isn't news. That, that's Always Sunny, right? They're just like starting to chant as D's trying to talk to them. Yeah.
Yeah. So PlayStation just had a conference in Paris this past week.
Same goes for you, Paris.
and there was a couple of things to come out of it. Nothing like super mind blowing.
Except a game called Mind Blowing.
let's see. Sucker Punch, the developer.
Sucker Punch!
Oh my goodness.
I can't listen. I can't hear someone say that phrase without thinking Cotton Hill.
Yeah. Sure. So, Sucker Punch, That's the developers behind Infamous, which there hasn't been an Infamous game for a while. They're working on a new IP, and it's like a samurai game. It's called Ghost
of... Oh, shit.
I'm going to butcher this, and I'm so sorry. Ghost of Tsushima? That doesn't sound
that
terrible.
Sounded right?
Yeah, that sounds...
Ghost of Tsushima?
Kind of delicious, actually.
Because I'm going to guess the T isn't exactly pronounced in the beginning. But it's a new open world game set in the mountains of ancient Japan. And
I like
you're
it.
A samurai, and the trailer looks pretty cool, so you should definitely look that up.
There's not a whole lot of like samurai games, is there?
Last year this game that was very
For like, Honor, right? Is that what you're gonna say?
No.
Oh,
there's samurais in that, but that game did terribly. there's this game called Nioh. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Nioh, made by like Team Ninja, and it was kind of like you were a samurai in it, but it was very like Dark Souls influenced sort of game.
So yeah. Difficult.
Yeah, I got it. And it's pretty fun, but it's a lot more like inventory based than Dark Souls is. Rather
inventory
than, like,
based.
Yeah, so you get. You get, like, a lot of different... Where in Dark Souls, you basically could run through the whole game with things that you find at the beginning, and you just, like, upgrade those.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different, like, armors and weapons and stuff like that. And there's different fighting styles and things like that.
Oh, okay. They should do... I would think there'd be more samurai stuff than there is. You know,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just out of the loop. That's like, well, yeah, it's something called anime, and there's a lot of them in there. And like,
yeah.
I mean,
true.
I just don't watch.
But in video games. See, this past year, there was like a big like push on like Viking sort of stuff with like Horizon Zero Dawn, and then Freckle, what was that one game called that was kind of indie.
Skyrim.
No,
a little indie.
That was kind of indie that came out fairly recently, but the name is getting away from me. That's what I'm trying to say. Escaping me. That's the word.
Escaping me is what it's called.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But maybe there's going to be a samurai push.
The samurai push.
Yeah, and then there was a new trailer for Last of Us 2. Which Tiffany had some thoughts about, that she might email in or something. I don't know if you might hear it, but, we were talking about it yesterday. But it looks...
What'd she say? Did she say some specifics on it?
Remember she was saying, like, why do Asian people always have to have bows and arrows? Like, just give them guns.
That's true, because, like, wasn't, Magnificent Seven, like, he was just the knife guy?
Yeah, exactly.
And, like... It's cool, but, like, you're the knife guy at a gunfight, you know?
Just give him a gun.
Like, just give him a gun.
So, yeah, I get that. And yes, I remember Patrick, but our listeners did not hear the conversation.
Well, I don't know if you wanted to write it and say it a different way or whatever. So I was going to
give
her the opportunity. But yeah, so that... And she was also talking about, like, the hyper-violence and how a lot of people are, like, getting on that train, but she's already been on that train for a while. Yeah, it does look pretty...
She goes hard.
It does look pretty grim. The whole trailer, yeah. I was waiting for the zombies to come along, and they kind of never did until the end. But, I mean, it looks... it's one of those things where it's like, why'd you have to make another one? I was kind of, like, pretty okay with there not being a sequel. But,
well,
I mean,
it leaves a lot of like open ends, you know, and
yeah, kind of.
This is,
but at the same time, it's like it was, and we'll talk about this. It's like Stranger Things season one; like it leaves open ends, but I'd be okay with it just ending.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could say the same thing for this season too, I think.
Yeah, and we'll definitely talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's Naughty Dog. They make a really good story, so I'm not like super worried about it. Uncharted 2 was probably the best one, besides maybe 4 out of that whole series. So,
yeah, I mean that's another thing. Like Uncharted, everyone ends where it's like that's good.
Yeah.
And then they have another one. It's like, but that was good, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's cool. I mean, it'll be cool to see those characters back, I guess. You still haven't even played the first one, so you should probably should do that. So, yeah. But, let's see. What else? We got some more information about Beyond Human.
You're only human.
I swear.
Just like a loose release window for spring 2018, but that could change. But I'm kind of excited for that. Heavy Rain was a good game, so that'll be interesting. And then some more stuff for Monster Hunter World, which I'm actually kind of excited about. So that's also queued up for spring 2018, but we'll see if that changes too. But kind of excited for that too. But besides that, it was mostly just some new trailers, some more information about games we already knew were coming, some DLC announcements, things like that.
Gotcha.
But,
gotcha.
But that happened.
That's a thing.
That's a thing that happened, yeah.
So. What are some other things specifically?
Like some Stranger Things than that.
Oh!
I don't know. Let's talk
about
it. That's
when Jamie has left us.
Should we put a blanket, like
spoilers? There's probably going to be spoilers.
There will be spoilers.
For the first season and the second season?
Yeah, so...
Because it's going to be really hard to try to do non-spoiler talk.
Yeah. Maybe real quick, before spoilers, just, like, overall...
Did you like
thoughts, it? Did you like it? Pretty much yes or no.
Okay. Yeah, I liked it.
You sound very sure of yourself.
I liked it in general as a whole.
Okay.
I'll say that.
Okay.
Jamie?
You're looking at me.
Yeah.
I thought it was a delight.
A delight.
I thought it was a very fair, a very justifiable sequel to season one. And that was after feeling that they could have ended it after season one. So for them to have done, I think, a good job with season two. Yeah. General, it was fun.
Right.
As much as, like, there is that little, like, critic inside of me, it's like, well, but, I still love it.
Yeah. We're like, talking just, general. Yeah, this is, yeah. Like, we're going to pick it apart.
Yeah, exactly.
But generally, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So that's the overview. Hard, really hard to talk about the story without revealing the story. So you've been warned. We're going to be talking about both Stranger Things 1 and 2. So spoilers ahead. Go watch it. Definitely worth watching, certainly.
Yes.
And if you liked season 1... Watch season 2, yo. Science, bitch.
For those out there that are like me, who don't find appeal in scary or creepy things, it is well worth... It's not terribly creepy, one, and it's well worth sitting through the mild the creepy, the spoopy.
So
it's more just suspenseful than creepy than scary.
Yeah. Speaking of that, maybe that should be our first... thing we talk about now.
Are we in spoiler territory? Okay,
spoiler territory.
Spoiler.
So the first thing is, this season just had a very different feel.
It wasn't as scary.
It wasn't nearly as scary. There was a few opportunities they had, and they didn't take it.
Like what?
Like, I just feel a lot of the stuff in the lab at the end.
That's true.
They could have used... I mean, I thought for sure they were going to just verbatim...
But you know what they did? That I think you could argue is the strongest, like, level of fear, is they had you on suspense that entire time.
True, true.
So they did, like, it was thrilling. You were watching it, like, not sure what was going to happen.
Right.
So.
It's too bad, we can talk about this later. It's just too bad that all that suspense led to probably the worst scene in all of Stranger Things.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it the whole season didn't have, like, the jump scares like season one did. There's a lot of...
Except I think there was one in the first episode, because I remember you laughed at me because I made an audible,
huh. Oh, shit. What was it?
I don't remember
Because, like,
what
nothing
it was.
Happened in the first episode.
It was probably right at the very beginning when the car, like, comes out of nowhere or something. I don't know. I was on edge.
Or the X-Men First Class start driving away. That's not necessarily, I guess, a critique.
No.
You want to do something different.
Scary.
But I kept waiting for a lot of the same kind of, like, oh my god moments. Because I still pee my pants watching that Barb get taken into the pool. But
anything with Barb, really.
Yeah, that's true. That whole, she got wrecked. Yeah. My god.
Like, immediately.
My god.
Yeah.
Like, unnecessarily.
Yes. Like, it was like...
what we were talking about.
It was the Jurassic World Secretary Extreme.
It was. Like, she didn't deserve it.
No.
Not like that. Speaking of Barb,
yeah.
What do you guys think of the... do you feel that there was some fan service?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yes.
There was I think it was 100% fan service.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not the creator of the show, and I haven't watched through all of Beyond Stranger Things to get
we're currently in the middle of watching Beyond Stranger Things. It's like the little documentary where they're all sitting.
I haven't seen that
yet. Which is really
fun.
Fantastic.
It's really fun.
I mean, I like that guy.
Yeah, he's great. Kids are great. Duffer Brothers are...
the kids are all
interesting.
They're exactly what I expected them to be.
They're awkward.
Millie Bobby Brown's super English.
Super English.
And she's great.
So great.
She's a delight, as some would say. and Finn Wolfhard has the most metal name.
He's kind of a badass.
Who's that?
Mike.
I stumbled upon his Instagram the other day, and he's in a fucking band. He's got Bob Dylan's hair. It's like, who are you, child?
I am Finn fucking Wolfhard, and fucking's my real middle name.
I'm laughing because there's no, I now have Harley back here with me, because he's all drugged out, and his owner is leaving, so she doesn't want him to be alone.
He's all drugged out.
This is the
dog, by the way. This is Harley and Charlie.
Oh my gosh!
Kayla's trying to do work back here, and she's like riding something, and he just literally just jumped on her lap and didn't even give a fuck.
Oh my gosh!
I'm drugged out. I need love.
Come here.
This is the first time we've actually had one of the barking dogs.
In the show.
Because we've had... I mean, they've been in the show.
He wants to jump up here, but he's not sure how. There we go.
There he is. Look at him.
Hi, Harley.
He's all drugged out.
All right. So now I have a dog.
Now he's got a dog. He's got a doggo.
But he's chill.
So, Barb... I feel like the whole Barb inclusion was... the most fan servicey. I don't think they intended to use her like
yes,
at all.
There's another very fan servicey thing, which is Jonathan and Nancy ending up together.
Which is funny because I did not give a shit. Did not.
Yeah, I think it was just one of those things that like fans probably expected it to happen at the end of last season, and then it didn't, but then for some reason it happened at like the end of this season, which I just like, if they were gonna do it, they should have just done it last season.
Yeah, it was really weird the way they like tied that up, because like, granted, Steve is okay to talk about this. Let me talk about Steve for a second. I really love his character a lot.
I like Steve too.
Love Steve.
Yeah, his god, his hair
hair is good.
It's his real hair.
It's his real hair, guys.
It's majestic.
Guys.
He's a sure thing is. Of beauty.
But I love that he was the stereotypical high school like cool guy, but it turned into like he really genuinely cares for Nancy.
Yeah,
and he I love his reaction to like the fucking Demogorgon coming through. Like what is. Like, he's just freaking out, wants to get out of there, then has this moment while the lights are flickering to go back in season one. And that's... what a great way to introduce someone new to all this crazy fucking shit happening. And yeah. We'll get back to that idea, because it was not handled very well in this season, I don't think. But...
it's funny, like, I really liked it, and now that we're talking about it, I'm like, oh, there's a few things I didn't like. Like, my list is growing.
Yeah. But, And I love him in this season. He's almost more mature. It's a year later. He's leaving high school. And I feel like now is more of a caretaker. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
What a cool random way. Yeah. What a random way for them to like break up. Like he's fine and she's fine. And they kind of force an argument in there.
Yeah. Like, that's why I was like, man, I kind of wish they just like. Because at the end of last season, when during like the Christmas scene, when they were still together, and she gives Jonathan the camera, and then she goes sits down, and he's there, and he's like, oh, did you give it to him? And like, did he like it? Sort of that conversation. I was like, oh, that's like really nice. He's not like going to be a dick to him anymore. Like, they're actually,
in his
like,
precious sweater. Yeah. Like, let him be happy.
Yeah.
Let him be happy.
Sweater, that fucking sweater.
I was kind of like, oh, like. Awesome. They didn't go the stereotypical direction that you thought they were going to go in with, like, the two misfits get together or whatever, or, like, the person that is right for you has been in front of you the whole time sort of thing.
Yeah, or even, like, this, like, she gets with the jerk and he stays a jerk. It's like, no, he was actually, like, this cookie-cutter 80s stereotype, but he turned out to be, like, a like a really good character.
Yeah.
He feels real. Like that's like there are guys like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I
think that was my favorite thing about him is like nobody genuinely cares. And it's like evidence up front. Like it's pretty early on where it seems like he actually likes her more.
Yeah.
But it was all worth it for that Dustin Steve like team up.
Yes.
I was real worried for a second.
That if that was fan service me, Duffer Brothers.
Xerxes. See, and I don't think it was because like who would have thought like Steve and Dustin?
Yeah,
like,
I don't think Steve anyone was asking together. For that.
And watching beyond Stranger Things a little bit, I think they even said they didn't really think they were going in that direction. But the more they kind of wrote it in, they're like, I like this like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Their personalities play off each other really well.
Yeah.
Very just natural team up, which is great.
Yeah.
Let's see. Speaking of that, the whole reason we get to that point, what do you guys think of the Poliwog?
I thought the Poliwog was fine. I think they could have done it better, but for what it was, I think it was like okay. I think it got a little too dumb at the end when they meet up again.
Thank you.
In the tunnel or whatever, and Dustin's like, oh, like, Dart, like, have some fucking Three Musketeers, everything's gonna be fine. Even though it turned out to be a cold-blooded killer and didn't give a shit, but for whatever reason that turned off.
For a second?
Yeah.
Like,
because I think, like, the whole him finding it and then it like continuing to morph like metamorphosis and get bigger and bigger and then he doesn't know how to handle it and then it escapes sort of thing. I think that was like fine. Because I think if you didn't have that and then there was just a bunch of like demodoggies running around everywhere,
yeah,
it would have been just like too like you have to have some sort of transition.
It did lead to the revelation,
yeah,
that there's more,
yeah.
Which I thought I'm glad. I was a little worried up front, I think, but I like how where they went with it because it does introduce more, and all worth it for the scene where Dustin like smacks it into the basement or whatever.
Oh yeah,
but he gets all his gear on, and he's just. Like screams and comes out and like smacks it in there. I'm sorry, but you ate my cat. Yeah. I love that scene. That's one of my favorite scenes. Maybe and that's maybe I'm just figuring out right now. This season may have I think it might have higher highs than season one, but lower lows.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah,
I think the first season is like a really good, just throughout very consistent.
Yes. Steady. That's true.
Yeah.
And this one's a little bit more wavy where there's enough like I don't want to say dead air, but there's more of a drone in between really extreme scenes, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot of that has to do with I think they just had too many ideas.
Probably.
But they went so many different directions with yes. this.
They did. They did. They covered a lot.
And
yeah. for only one episode more?
And only yeah, it was one episode more. I call the extra episode is most definitely the X-Men episode, as I call it.
Yes.
Which is a good episode.
Which, in and of itself, I really liked.
Yes.
But it was so... It's like the pod race. Like, if you just watch the pod race, it's exciting, and I like it a lot.
Uh-huh.
Even though it was a horrible movie.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing in the pacing of the movie.
Yeah.
To, like, stop everything... We're going to race.
Yeah.
For a very long time.
Most of the movie.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
The redeeming quality of the movie.
And
it was... I don't know if I liked that episode.
Yeah,
but
I can't
say why or why not, which I don't know. And I think it may be because it was different. Like it almost felt out of body.
I feel like if they were going to do that, like, let Eleven be there for longer. Instead of having her in the cabin for most of the season, like, let her do that storyline from, like, episode 2.
Especially because they introduced those people the first, the first scene.
Yeah.
So you're wondering the whole season.
Yeah, you're wondering, like,
there's moments where I totally forgot, like, that had happened.
Yeah.
Even though it was a great way to start the season.
Yes. When they showed her number, I audibly went, oh!
Yeah. And this is maybe a good segue, too, of, like, that scene being the very big first scene, I immediately go, oh, that's where the season's going. There's going to be more, and there's going to be something about, you know, the other experiments, you know, learning what happened at Hawkins.
And then it wasn't about that
at all. Because I thought it was going to be, like, something to do with Will maybe getting powers now. And then, like, the rest of the experiments coming into Hawkins. And then, like, Papa coming back to finish what he started or whatever.
Question.
What?
Since we brought Papa up. Do we think he's around?
I think so. I mean,
it was such a weird death in season one. That's one of the few things in season one where I'm just like, what?
It happens so quickly.
They never indicated that he died. Like, people have been captured by the Demogorgons and not killed, just taken into the Upside Down.
And that Demogorgon got lit, and it's feasible that he was hurt, but I mean, Hawkins had to clean up that school. Like,
yeah,
you know, they had quite the cleanup. I'm glad they kind of addressed they addressed the story. I was really worried, especially because I don't think they talked about it at all in the first episode of this season. But they addressed the story that they told everybody, because when we were rewatching the last episode, I was like,
before the new
so
season,
much
like,
shit
the
happens.
Yeah, like, how did they cover this
like
up?
How do you cover up a massacre at a school with this demon thing? Like, what? And where'd all the salt go? Why'd you take all the salt?
Yeah, that winter must have been
the pudding.
Bitch.
Yeah, everyone was slipping and sliding.
But, like, to go to rewind a little bit back to where they were going to take this season, I had no idea. Finishing season one, no idea where they were going to go. And I think they did a lot of things really well. I think they took it in a really nice direction. It was such, like, some would argue it was maybe even a little bit too hand-holdy, because they just kind of resolved all of your questions, or almost all of your questions.
Sure, there's not... I don't think there's as much
mystery. There's not as much open end. I mean, we still don't know what exactly the Upside Down is and why this lab in...
It's the Veil of Shadows. What are you talking about? And that thing is the Mind Flayer.
Obviously.
Obviously.
And why this little nowhere town is investigating this. I mean, that's still a pretty big question.
Yeah, because, I mean, if Eleven seals it, which is it, this this season almost ends kind of exactly the same as season one in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, well, let's seal it up. Like, let's make sure this thing can't keep coming in. Mm-hmm. And then it's such a, like, it's sealed and now all the demodogs are dead, I guess. So, like, that's convenient. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it was a little bit of a...
Yeah. But it was like, I'm over it. That's fine.
Right.
But then it's not out, I guess.
Yeah. But it's still like in the Upside Down.
Yeah.
Which I liked that it was like, oh, we just didn't kill it. It's still there.
Yeah.
And they could totally end with like, it's still in the Upside Down and never comes back. Bye.
Yeah. They could end it if they don't get renewed for a season three, which is they unlikely. They're going to get renewed.
They'll definitely. They want to do 4 seasons, I read somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
So they have enough ideas for 4 seasons.
Yeah.
I do fear, of course, I wasn't disappointed by this season, but I do fear that it could get campy really quick.
This might be the transition season to, I mean, I think they'll want to explore 8 and her powers and the other experiment. I think eventually that's definitely, Patrick, you're right. I'm sure that's where they want to go.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll, if they take it that direction and they dive into Hawkins and it's kind of vibing the like insane asylum horror kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want it to go superhero direction.
Yeah.
No.
Which is okay. I think that's what I didn't like about that episode. It felt like the X-Men.
Yeah.
And I'm over superhero stuff. And that's what I loved about Stranger Things, or what I love about Stranger Things is it's something new, maybe not original, because it obviously pulls from a lot like of existing everything. But that's what art is, right? But
whoa, you just blew my fucking mind.
But like, if they take it where it gets superhero-y, I'll be really disappointed.
Yeah,
just two of them teaming up made them OP, so
right. One can throw you across the room and melt your brain to let it come out of your nose. And then the other one can make you see whatever the fuck she wants you to see.
Or not see.
Like, damn.
Yeah.
You don't... And that's... There's your problem. We were talking about this, like, after the last episode. One of the big problems with Eleven, and why I think she just kind of sat on the sidelines a lot of it. And by the way, I love her and Hopper. Hopper, by the way, I somehow have not mentioned him yet. My favorite character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's best the character. Fucking shit. And that's what, like, the story isn't exactly complex. Like, there's not a huge amount of new ideas. But the characters in this
is done
are mostly very, very good.
Can we talk about that mostly? Because Max and Billy are the worst.
Billy...
Those two are literally useless. If they weren't there, nothing would have changed.
True. I can handle Max. I feel like bad for her. I do.
No, Max is dumb.
Billy, I was just
freaking Red Ranger.
I wanted him to get eaten so bad, and even after like we see why he's a dick, you know, I was like.
I still want you to get
yeah.
That whole storyline is just not good.
It is one of those things where it feels like we need a girl for the kid group.
No, that's exactly
definitely.
What
it may not have been fan service, maybe fan servicing, but it was. I think it was just maybe political correctness servicing.
It's production company going
production
going
company
like,
servicing.
Yeah,
we need a girl in this.
The only. Purpose Max serves is to drive a wedge between the rest of the members of the group,
and it's not even a good wedge. Like,
no.
It's true. A lot of her interaction with the group, I wasn't like I didn't hate it. It was just like I don't care about
their
little love triangle.
I just didn't know why she was there the whole season. I was waiting for it the whole time. I was like, what?
Well,
I thought it was going to come during the episode that was entitled Dig Dug. So I was like, maybe for whatever reason, her arcade prowess will be able to help out here or whatever. But that didn't happen either.
Yeah, you know, she didn't really do anything for the story. Neither of them
did.
Well,
all she did was stop her brother from basically murdering Steve.
Yeah, but if neither of them were there.
But if he wasn't there, nothing would have happened.
You know, Shame. If their fucking parents didn't get divorced, none of this would have happened.
Oh. We're getting into some deep territory.
Because yeah. Another thing is like, oh, if, you know, if Max wasn't there, then Eleven wouldn't have seen her and Mike laughing or whatever. And I was like, well, just play off of the her relationship with Hopper, and that's what drives her away. There's other ways to, like, go about it. And then the only reason that Billy's there is because they need his car. But they have bikes, and they also could have made it so that Steve had his car there, or someone had their car there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I feel like Billy was the Steve we all thought Steve was going to be, but they were like, no, we still need that, like, cool high school dude to be a dick.
And they even said that. Like, they just threw him in there because they needed that character, or they wanted that character.
There is a Beyond Stranger Things. I saw, like, one of the pictures is Max and Billy, and I'm like, I don't care about watching that.
But yeah, it
maybe
was,
maybe he's just wonderful in real life.
Well, to be TBH, I did not mind Billy being there for that scene.
Oh my god.
With Mike's mom.
Oh my god.
That was almost worth it.
I don't know. That was like, you're, I don't know. I was like cringing the whole time, but both you and your roommate were loving it. Like, thought it was so, like, really funny, and I didn't want to say anything, but I was just like, I don't know about this.
Shoot, I was going to say something and I completely forgot.
Isn't he... Is Billy... Who? No, Billy's a Blue Ranger.
No, he's the Red Ranger.
No, no. Like, Billy, the character from Stranger Things, is the Red Ranger. But in Power Rangers, I think... Billy is the Blue Ranger. Jason is the Red Ranger, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Okay. I'm
nerd.
I just thought it would be weird if he was Billy twice. Good Billy, bad Billy. BB. GB and BB.
But speaking of new characters.
Oh, Billy.
Can we talk about Erica?
Erica?
She's a delight.
Oh.
Was that
Lucas's
little sister? She's great.
She drove the story more than Billy and Max combined.
Yeah.
True.
Because she always has a revelation for Lucas.
Yeah, right? And her personality is just great.
I wanted more of Mike's sister in this season. Or not.
I know.
The little sister.
Nancy,
right?
The little sister.
I realized, like, after the season was over, I was like, where was the little girl? She was the best thing about this first season.
And the dog.
Her facial expressions of, like looking concerned and back and forth. It's great.
Yeah.
Speaking of animals.
Oh, God.
Hashtag justice for Muse.
I was sadder about Muse than I was about Barb.
Or Sean Astin.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just too Mary Sue of a character.
Let's get...
I thought for sure he was going to be a spy because he was too perfect.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah. And then the advice he gave Will, it's like, that is terrible advice. You're a monster. You are the monster.
I mean, it's that good advice if he wasn't having crazy ass nightmares.
It was really horrible advice because I thought, same as you, Patrick, that he was some kind of, like, he was in on it the whole time, and he was part of Hawkins' lab to watch Winona Ryder.
Because they keep pushing, like, oh, he's super smart. He was called Bob the Brain. Like, so he would be able, he's really good with technology. So, like, oh, that fits the bill for, like, him being able to work at a place like, I don't know, Hawkins' lab for the government.
Yeah, exactly. And even when he was introduced to all the craziness, it didn't faze him at all.
Yeah.
And so I was like, he's definitely in on this, I think, already. And there's going to be some route. No.
Nothing.
But he's just an idiot. Like, yeah, that's just the whole time. And the one thing I'll give him on now that we know he's not a spy, the one thing I'll give him is that is fine advice. Because he was just being trying to be a decent dude to Will, who's a great actor, by the way. Will, fucking great.
How have we not talked about Will?
But also adorable, and he does a great job doing both.
And looks like you when you were a baby.
Stop. He does look like you when you were a baby.
It's frightening, actually. The bowl cut
life.
80s babies.
But,
anyway, back to Bob.
But Bob, I'll give him a pass on that one. But his death scene was the worst death scene
ever. That whole part was pretty not good. It was just,
that whole part was fucking great because it was Jurassic Park.
That's why I didn't like it, because it was. I was like, I'd rather just be watching Jurassic Park now.
And that was one. That was one of those times where, like, he could have a better death at any moment, like on his journey back to the front door.
Yep. Which, yeah, they like should the broom have done.
Closet and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then he.
Oh, it was
so
bad.
Many dumb, like, he leaves the gun. He can easily take the gun. Guns have been established to not do much. You could have had him not be a complete dumbass and still have his gun and not have it be useful.
Well, even when the Demogorgon jumps on him, he wouldn't have had a lot of time to pull it out even.
Yeah. And Hopper with his, like, automatic rifle does nothing to it. You could have easily just played it, to where he had the gun. Like, we both, when he left the gun, we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, me and Kayla did that too. And then when he does the stupid turn and his stupid shit-eating grin, I was like, he's dead now.
And it's slow motion the whole time, and it's just so bad.
Yeah, so this is why I fear for if they're going to do another season. It did not end on a strong note for two things, in my opinion. Bob.
His name would be Bob.
And what, Dart? Who the fuck and
Dart.
Cares?
Yeah, Dart was
Dart.
But
Dart's dead, though, now, right?
He's dead, yeah, he's dead. It got really campy. And then even to cut back to a shot of him, like, dying, it's like, I don't care!
You ate a cat! Fucking Alf. Oh, I get it now.
Another thing I don't like about Bob, he was never at any point was he in the underground, and then never at any point that he would have been in the underground did he say, down here it's our time down here.
Wow. They really, he did say, what is there, a treasure chest at this X? Or yeah, he was like looking at the X, and he's like, oh, is there a pirate treasure there? And I was like, oh, because you're from the Goonies. I get that. One of the big problems with Sean Astin, A, he plays himself. B,
he had too much fun.
Like, I could tell how, like, much he loved doing that. And then it's revealed in Beyond Stranger Things, like, he kept calling them to be a part of a season. Like, that character was not supposed to do anything, but it was Sean Astin, and they're like, well, we gotta have Samwise. And, like, that's literally what they said. And so, you could tell, the whole time, even when it's revealed all these horrible things have happened to, like, Hawkins, and, you know, Winona Ryder's family. He's just like, wow, guys.
Yeah, glad that's to be a character here. That so Sean happy. Austin wrote himself.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Which it's fucking Samwise. Let him.
But and at least first, he contributes, I guess, rather than Max and Billy who don't contribute anything. There were some pretty bad characters in this season.
But also, great ones.
Really good
Hopper
characters.
Is one of my favorite characters. I wish they would have done more with
Nancy,
I think.
Nancy didn't really do
Nancy
anything.
Had another once yeah. again Nancy had a boring arc, which is kind of a shame because I feel like she can be an interesting character,
she could
but
be.
Like I just don't give a shit about her and Jonathan and the conspiracy theory guy, and some of it was there were some funny moments, but it was mostly like, can we get back to the other stuff? The rest of the kids I love.
They're so great.
Dustin obviously, Steve obviously, Lucas is great. As much as you don't like Max, I think like his reactions to Max were genuine at a few moments, and I really liked the way he reacted to her and like talked about when they were like on top of the bus and stuff. I actually liked that scene. Like, I think it's really hard to have a genuine touching moment between kid actors.
Yeah,
and I think they did a pretty good job in that moment.
Could have had Steve up there with him.
I like Steve talking about like, here's how you act with women. You just try not to pay attention, like act like you don't care. And then when they talk about Nancy, he's like, well, Nancy's different. And it's just like, I liked that kind of stuff. And I liked Mike, even though he was emo Mike and not much of a character, but I think he fits better as the support
rather than the lead,
because he was a little too in your face in season one, just a little bit. He wasn't too bad, but there's a little too many times where he's just like, this is the chair. That's a chair. Sitting there, like, okay, I know 11 doesn't know a lot of words, but wow, dude, like, stop. Then I learned his last name. I'm like, you can do whatever you want, I guess.
You're cooler than I'll ever be. You can do what you want. But let's talk about Will.
Let's talk about Will. Real quick. Yeah.
He's really Will, good at getting possessed.
Really good.
Terrifying.
I love, you know what, in terms of being possessed, I like that we know Will. Like, I feel in horror movies for kid possession, like, they're just possessed pretty
just
quickly,
and
they're just terrifying, creepy kids, and that's the whole point, is, like, how creepy is a kid, you know, to be acting weird. But we know
kids
the
act weird
kid...
all the time.
Yeah. Weird kid shit.
Weird kid shit.
We know the kid underneath the possession, and I think that's super cool, because we all like Will. The whole point of the first season is to find him. and say his name a million times. And when we do find him, he's not the same, but he was always looking, he always wanted to help the other, even in their D&D game, wanted to help the others first. And he does such a good job of playing that kind of sweet kid.
Mm-hmm.
So when he does such a good job playing possessed kid,
it's terrifying.
It's terrifying.
It's extra terrifying.
It's just it's just very uneasy.
Yeah, like, it wasn't a very scary season, but there were a couple really disturbing images that didn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
Like, him in the field, or when what's it called?
When it starts burning, when he starts
when,
having
well,
the vines
one, when they're burning him, when it's entering him.
Oh, yeah.
When he that was terrifying.
The scariest one is when he's laying in the field when they're burning the vines in the tunnel.
Yeah.
And it cuts back up to him and he's just like shaking on
and
the ground.
And they have like a really low light so you can't even see his eyes. They're just like dark hollows. It's terrifying. and of course the cat being eaten was disturbing to me. not sit well.
What do you think about
but,
what do you think about Will, Patrick? You were trying to say something.
Kayla chimed in a little bit ago and said it would have been really crazy if he was, like, actually possessed the whole time and, like, had already been a spy, but he didn't know he was being a spy, and then the lost smoke monster enters him fully and then takes over control. In all of those visions beforehand, he was having those because he was already possessed, and then when it finally catches him in the like dream, that's when he's like fully just taken over. That would have been like interesting too, but
yeah
he's I love that they showcased on him this time because he was such a backseater last season.
Yeah,
he
was the objective, but that was about it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he's a really good character, and he really good. Like, he's shown in this season for sure.
I liked the whole like Morse code thing. That was cool.
That was, mm-hmm. yeah.
I really liked the scene.
I liked how all the kids were like, Morse code. Like, they just all know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked the scene with 11 and her mom when she's seeing her mom's crazy vision.
Yeah.
That was cool. And then, like, you get to, like, oh, those are the words she's repeating over and over again.
I need to see, like, is that the same words she says in the first? Because she's in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that the same words she says? I don't know.
I don't remember.
Or if she even says words, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Because that'd be cool if they had that planned.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, it was getting a little X-Men X-23 status with the whole kid room and then...
Yeah.
A little bit.
A little bit. Overall, I mean, probably should start wrapping up for convo,
we hardly even talked about 11. Like, she was just not
it was weird. Well, let's talk about that for a sec. Like, I feel like they shouldn't have revealed that she was in this season in the previews. Like, you could have worked it a different way. You could have kind of slowly revealed maybe mid-season that Hopper had been, like, that's where Hopper has been going.
Yeah.
You know? And I get it, like, you want to establish the daughter-father thing they've got going on, because they're both missing something, And I love that. I love that characterization.
Yeah.
They're both great actors, especially with these characters and mm-hmm. each other. And it was one of those things that it could have been part of the mystery, because I feel like there wasn't the mystery this season of like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it's slowly breadcrumbed in season one. You get more and more revelation as you go on. This season, we already know so much. Why don't you add something different? Like, I don't even know, but even something so simple as, well, where's Hopper going? Like, is Eleven okay? Like, how is she play back into it? Because we know he leaves Waffles at the end of the first season. Yeah. So he knows something. So what's going on? That would have been cool to have that a little bit played out more. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. Eleven didn't have anything to do for most of this season.
Not really, no. Not until she comes into the end to save them. And then some Deus Ex Machina. And then and then at the end of the season when they play Time After Time and they dance.
One of the things I do like from the X-Men episode is she's trying to be Eight is trying to convince her like they can't save you, and she knows like it's not about her being saved, it's about her saving them. And I thought that was really cool.
No,
she don't need no man.
And I love the idea of what is home to her, and they like even though. Eleven wasn't in the forefront like she was last season, there was still like a lot of focus on her as far as like now that she's not in this crazy situation. Well, she still is, but it's more about her finding out who she is and where she belongs, which is a question for anyone who's 12, 13 years old, but especially her.
Yeah. And I do take back my earlier statement of like the highest high is in this season. It's not. I don't know what I was thinking. The highest high of the entire show is the first time you see her like throw that dude against the wall and then crack the other guy's neck. Like that. That's my favorite moment.
Or the car flip.
The car flip. Yes.
Oh yeah. She.
That was super cool. There's a lot of super cool moments for her in the first season, but that first one where you really see how powerful she is for the first time is just like such a like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly how I reacted.
And then when she crushes everyone's skulls, like that was pretty. Yeah.
She also makes the two bullies pee themselves last season. That was also a pretty big high.
And she's our friend and she's crazy. I understand why you have to be careful with that. You can't overdo that. And any situation she enters, you win.
She'll get out.
So you work yourself into a corner. You've made such a great character. Now it's going to be difficult trying to find ways to, challenge her. And
So this season it was teenage angst, basically. She gets a bitchin' new look, which is cool.
Yeah, it's true. She walks in all badass into the house. And everyone's like, the fuck? I'm pretty sure I saw Hopper go, the fuck? But the kid, like, I love the kids so much. And that's out of context is a weird statement.
Chris loves kids, Chris. Everybody.
And Hopper is one of my favorite characters, period, I think.
Yeah, he's a great character. He's also a believable character.
Yeah, and it's such a fun trip most of the time that it's addicting. It really is. But once you start picking at it, like the scabs, like reveal like wounds underneath a little bit, you know.
But even so, like
They're not like
it's entertainment.
Yeah,
and like we're all creative minded people, and I think it's good to look at things skeptically and critically, but at the end of the day, just fucking sit back and enjoy the ride.
It's so hard to do though, Jamie.
It's like it's Pacific Rim. I know it's
garbage.
And Pacific Rim is a piece of art, Chris.
No, it is. It's one. No, that's what I'm saying. I love it. It's the best. But Stranger Things 2 is basically the aliens to the alien of season one.
Yeah.
Probably.
Except the main character didn't die at the very beginning.
True.
Oh, the whole, like, it would have been one thing if the first episode Will walks out to the street and gets hit by a van and dies.
Oh my god.
Well,
that's Aliens.
Also, the best theme song of any show, period.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, The Office.
I know, that's true.
It's better than The Office.
And Always Sunny.
I'll fight you.
The Office makes me very happy when
it
I hear it.
It gets me fucking pumped. Deener, 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 deener. Like, don't you want to go rage?
Oh, man, I love The Stranger Thing. I legitimately, like, stopped you talking a couple times. Like, it's
I watched the Stranger Things intro once, and then I pressed skip intro every single time after that.
You're doing it as wrong as possible.
Chris made us sit through every single one.
They're first of all, it's not like it's Game of Thrones intro. Which is an hour and a half.
The episode.
And second of all, it's fucking great!
It is good, God. But I'm not gonna sit there and listen to it if it's literally all I have to do now is press X on the PlayStation controller and it's done.
You know what's also great? The Beyond Stranger Things intro is also fantastic.
Also great. Very fun.
A little bit more of a, like, electronic version of the theme, and then everyone, like, all the characters are digitalized.
They look
and it's
like
super
they're
cool.
In an arcade.
Yeah, it's really cool.
But someone's had to have made a metal version of the Stranger Things theme. Right?
Oh, they did, and I listen to it often.
Good.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
the dude is called Artificial Fear on YouTube. Yeah.
Give him a shout
and,
out.
Put
his link
seriously,
in your...
I don't care. Reach out. He's great. You should listen. He does, like, Metal Zelda stuff, and he does Metal Stranger Things and Metal Westworld. It's fucking
Game
of
Thrones. Doesn't he do Inspector Gadget, too?
No, that's another him? That's another group.
Yeah, that theme song is better than Stranger Things.
Ooh. Shots fired.
Thanks for listening.
Go on, move on to our weapon of the week here.
Weapon of the week.
We got a jingle now. Kind of.
What?
We have lyrics to a jingle.
Okay.
Or this is a pitch that Tiff sent in. I don't know if you saw this.
I don't remember.
Jingle
I think
idea.
I did.
When you're fighting zombies and the future looks bleak, it's time to pull out your weapon of the week.
Ah,
I like it.
But like
make
it.
But now someone's got to go and make that jingle-fied.
Jingle-fied.
So
when you're usually
talented zombies, jingle riders.
Da-na-na-na-na. Oh no.
Oh dude. Oh, that one's so good. Oh, I love that theme. I'm doing the theme. What are you reading today?
It's a delight.
Also, the letters one is pretty good too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. So, Sunday Movies, guys.
Listen and watch. So, weapon of the week is anything you've watched, read, listened to,
played,
whatever weapon the characters are using in that is your weapon to get yourself through the zombie apocalypse. Luke's zombie apocalypse, specifically after he revealed that his weapon was basically raising undead armies. So we figured he probably started it. So, Patrick, you said you had one, because I may or may not have to think of one. You said you have one too? Oh yeah, yours is great.
Okay, yeah, I have one. It's not from Stranger Things, because I've listened to something more recently than that, and I find this weapon far cooler than just mind powers, even though mind powers are really cool. But that would have been my weapon only. But I was listening, I've used a weapon from this show before, Glass Cannon Podcast, a Pathfinder podcast. You guys should all listen to it. It's great. It's fantastic. They have wonderful actors, and it's great. And also
all
funny.
The shout-outs.
But they are getting now to a pinnacle point in their story after, like, 100-something episodes, where they're going to fight a dragon. But to call this dragon in, they had to blow this horn. Forget what it's called, but basically it just summons any dragons that are in the area. So my weapon of the week is a horn that summons in a dragon.
Oh,
damn!
That's not a bad thing to have.
Shit.
Sound like,
yeah. I think it's called, like, the dragon collar horn or something like that.
Now, this dragon breathes fire, I assume, or something.
Yes. But, you know, different dragons in the D&D and Pathfinder universe breathe different things. But the dragon that they summoned was specifically a red dragon, so yes, it breathes fire.
Doing good.
Not
doing
bad.
Doing real good.
Not bad.
I don't even have anything funny to say about, like, what a twist would be about. You just have a fucking dragon.
Yeah, especially if it's paired with the spell that they use immediately after that called Charm Animal or Charm Beast or Monster, where I can charm it and now it's just mine.
I thought you could say the spell called Daenerys.
The spell is called Dracarys. It's pretty awesome.
Nice. Well, you win. Jamie, what is your weapon of the week?
So, like we mentioned, we've been watching through the Beyond Stranger Things. I think we're on episode 4 or 3 or 4.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And for those who haven't seen it, it's just the cast and a host, and I think the producer and then the Duffer brothers talking about Stranger Things, and they're just sitting at a table, and it's fun. But they have the kids, of course, talk on the show, and what's the boy's name?
Caleb.
Caleb, the boy Lucas. Who plays Lucas, comes in, and while they are interviewing, I think Dustin's talking at the time, Lucas just pulls out this apple out of nowhere.
And just starts, like,
and just starts playing with it. And then I think it's the host or the producer said, "Where did that come from? Why do you have an apple?" So my weapon of the week is Caleb's apple.
the weapon now, of distraction.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
I think what I'm going to try and pull is to entice the zombies to try fruit.
Oh,
meat.
Maybe get some vegan zombies.
Get some vegan zombies? Yeah.
It's organic, folks.
Yes.
I just love the image of, like, you almost scolding the zombies into, like, you don't eat enough fruit. Like you do to me.
The apple a day keeps the zombies away. That's what they say.
Like you do.
Because they're eating it, I guess. So while you're working hard teaching them to eat this apple,
my dragon,
this dragon comes by and just destroys the shit out of them.
We can't Thanks. Have one without the other. No, you could totally have a dragon and be fine. What you got, Christofferson?
I don't know. Okay, so I think for me, I feel like I really stepped in our recording last night. I feel like I really stepped into playing Yoltar in a real way. Like I became Yoltar, really, to the point where. I'm not gonna, like, we're a couple episodes ahead of what we released, so I'm not gonna spoil anything. But there's a moment where he refuses
to give up,
to fucking just stop for 2 seconds, which is almost every episode, I guess. But this is to an extreme where he gets hit and he should just stop, and then he runs back and he gets hit again, and even the other people in the party is, like, trying to hold him back. So my weapon of the week is utter stupidity, because sometimes
stubbornness,
it's just stupid stubbornness.
You should rephrase that as hard-headedness, because that way the zombies can't get to your brain because your head's so hard.
Oh, I like it.
There you go.
Sometimes, I mean, let's face it, when you're in an apocalyptic situation, sometimes stupidity is rewarded because you just need to get shit done. Yeah. It is. No, you're probably fucked. Yeah.
As proven.
I tried to figure out some way. But if we want to get sentimental, I think it really comes into play, because if you're in a group and you're like, we know this is dumb, but somebody's got to do it, I'm your guy.
It's true.
And the group lives.
But.
Yeah. I'd rather have the scissors, actually.
Yeah, because scissors, we never talked about. If Jamie's gonna try to teach them about, you know, healthier alternatives, scissors could help you teach zombies some arts and crafts, and Maybe they won't get so bored, and they'll have a nice hobby.
Exactly. Cut it's that nice. Construction nice. Paper up.
Can't we all Don't just worry. Get along?
Don't worry, it's safety scissors.
But yeah, so I think
that is there any is there any weapons of the week?
Oh yes, there is.
From peeps.
There's one from Jake. The peeps? Good old Jake.
Oh, good old Jake. Consistent.
He says, "Hey, Brothers Geek. Last game I played was Cuphead, a game that seems very interesting to me. So my weapon in the zombie apocalypse would be the ability to snap lasers out of my hand."
Are they snapping? Is that what they're doing?
They're snapping and they're shooting lasers out of their fingers. Pretty good.
That's pretty awesome.
Infinite uses.
Oh man, I'm so sorry. I just Jake always has the unlimited ammo thing down. So good on you, Jake.
Yeah, sure.
I opened Twitter real quick to see if just to make sure that no one has sent us any weapons of the week. And the first thing that pops up is Clint McElroy's tweet of this old picture of I believe it's Travis and Griffin hanging out with Jeff Goldblum, like young versions of themselves. It is the best fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
What?
You know what? Let me just retweet it right now. So you guys, you just go to our Twitter and you'll see it immediately.
Oh yeah, see it.
There it is.
My God,
Jesus Christ! This is making me like way too happy. Okay, so I don't think we've got any new weapons of the week, except for the jingle there, so...
Yeah.
Which is great.
I think we're good. So yeah, for all other Brothers Geek goodness and Laporte Brothers goodness, go on to theportport.com. Link will be in the description for that. You can find all our links to social media there as well. And make sure you stay tuned and follow our other podcast, RP Geek. And also, as always, helps us out if you leave a review and rating on this and that as well.
And this and that.
This and that.
This and that. And make sure next week is a big milestone for us, episode 50.
Ooh.
So make sure you chime in next week for that. I don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but I'm sure it's going to be great. And I'm going to be cooking up a little something special for that episode release as well. So you're probably going to get a bonus episode of that week too.
Dang. Yeah. I'm excited now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jamie, for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, Port Brothers.
And, I believe that's our Geek of the Week.
Geek of the Week. So, make sure, again, come back next week for episode 50.
Fitty.
Talk about just Fitty.
Talk about Geek Fitty.
Geek Fitty.
Fitty.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Bye.
Bye.